Hey there, my name is Heather, and I am a 36-year-old military spouse, mom of four. I have had a podcast for 5 years as kind of a hobby, and I'm just now breaking out into publishing these episodes on YouTube. This is actually episode 100 that we're about to record, and we're just going to get into why be Catholic? I've had this question for a few people that follow me, either on Instagram or just listeners that have sent me emails. And, you know, it's a huge topic. It's an absolutely huge topic. And I've got a huge outline of all the things I want to talk about. But I think the basis of it for me is that I know it to be true. So I am somebody who was born and raised culturally Catholic. So although it's not that I didn't ever question my faith at all, I think that is absolutely vital to growth in faith, but I never had to have a crisis of faith where I had to leave something to become Catholic. So I think that's important to look at it from that point of view. The point of this episode is kind of coming at it from not, does God exist? How do I know God exists? Things like that. It's not in defense of atheism or even being agnostic. This is more to conceptualize, if you're Catholic, why are you that? When you could be anything else. You know, if you have this faith in Jesus Christ that he rose from the dead, died for your sins, then that's good enough. Why are you picking to be this thing? And I've been asked this before. So I think for most of us listening to this, Christianity probably makes sense to you. I know with my full chest that Christianity is right. I know that historically, logically, rationally, I have come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Son of God and that God has to exist, all those things. So this isn't a discussion about that. This is the discussion of, as long as you believe X, Y, Z, that Jesus rose from the dead, all those things, then everything is made up by man, right? So why are you Catholic? And I feel like people who are converts probably have to deal with this question a lot more. I have been so outwardly open about my faith for so many years that I don't think people would ask that question of me necessarily. It's more that people are coming to me and saying, how do I answer this? You know, as a convert or whatever, how do I answer? I know the church is true, but how do I defend that? And I think it is vital that you take those questions and any questions you have in your soul and you seek them out and you find answers, because if you don't, you can't defend your faith. And it's not about winning an argument. It's about winning souls, right? If you believe with your full chest that the Catholic Church is the true church of Jesus Christ, that he instituted and that there's authority within it and all these things, then you have to believe that God wants people in his church to get to heaven. And you have to believe that he wants your loved ones following the true church as well. So yeah, we're just going to get into it.
Welcome to the Holy Hot Mess Podcast. I'm your host, Heather, and this is the podcast where we strive for holiness even when everything in the world and our personal lives can feel like it's a massive hot mess. From deep theological chats to simple practical advice, we talk about it all here, all in hopes that we can encourage each other to keep our eyes, hearts, and minds set on heaven.
Episode 100 of this podcast. And I feel like it's taken forever to get here, but also blink of an eye. And I'm really thankful for anybody who has stuck around and left a rating or a review. Anybody who has let me know that you're encouraged by this, that something that I have said, God willing, the Holy Spirit through me has made you want to dive deeper into your faith, made you want to understand something more, made you want to know how to practically live our faith out. And I'm very, very thankful that you're here and that you're hanging out. So keep liking the pod, you know, go say hi on Instagram. Let me know what you think. Leave a rating and review, all those things. There is no sponsor for today's episode, but if you want to support the pod, you can go to holyhotmess.net/donate and you can donate one time on Venmo or join the Patreon. And yeah, today we're just going to get into, I've got a bunch of notes. I'm trying to record this for YouTube. Y'all, Jesus take the wheel on that. But so I have a bunch of notes, and really what I want to get into today is I have had close friends, family, friends on Instagram who have just said, you know, you could be anything in the world. Why be Catholic? Why do you want to be Catholic? And I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves regularly enough until we are absolutely confident in the answer. And my conversion story is one that I have been raised culturally Catholic my entire life. So I never had to leave everything I knew to become Catholic. It was more that I needed to settle in. I needed to go from that childlike faith to that more, for me, the intellectualism, understanding. And with that came a lot of asking questions and a lot of seeking the answers. And the root of it really is the answers I kept finding after exhausting amounts of research. I would always end up at the church fathers. The church fathers were always saying things that were extremely Catholic. I would see it in the catechism of the church. And so I would realize the things I was seeing that maybe a Protestant pastor was saying about the Catholic Church was not things that we believed. Or maybe even something confusing that a priest has said, I could kind of fact check that. And that to me was vital. But really the premise of it is like, if I believe that Jesus Christ founded the Catholic Church, which like I do with my full chest, not a feeling, I believe it because I know it to be true. History, reason, logic, biblical typology, which is basically that everything in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament and everything in the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. You know, God didn't establish this order for the Jews and then just like make it go away when Christianity happened. This covenant theology that like this is all this story of this of covenantal theology, I found it all to be true. And so it got down to the root of, okay, well, then am I going to leave Jesus because of Judas? And I'm not. So you have to be firm enough in your faith to say, these are the things that I believe, and I believe them because I know them to be true based on history, tradition, scripture, church fathers, what the earliest Christians were saying. And then despite the fact that there are imperfect people in this church, because there are, that's why we need a church, that's why we need Jesus, I'm not going to leave that church to follow my feelings or follow somebody who I feel might be holier than the Pope or whoever it may be, because that would then be leaving Jesus to follow a whim. And so I think, you know, the bulk of people who I'm talking to right now are generally for my podcast, it's people that are, maybe they were raised quote unquote Catholic, cafeteria Catholic, picky choosy Catholic, culturally Catholic, you know, the Irish, Italians, Mexicans, Spanish, you know, the Polish, you know, like you were raised in this, like it's part of your family culture, but maybe you don't know why. And I remember the first time I was really questioned why I believe what I believe, I was in high school and I didn't have an answer. Somebody said to me, are you Catholic or are you Christian? And I was like, what? I'm pretty sure we talk about Jesus all the time at Mass. But I didn't know how to answer that. And I was kind of okay with not having the answer. I kind of just thought it was ridiculous. But as I got later in life, I started taking every question against my faith as not an attack of me, but an urging of myself to go look into it and figure it out. And I am one of those people that's like stupidly obsessed with gaining new knowledge. It's part of just like having horrible ADHD, but you know, like the kind of person that reads a 57-hour long book on Hitler's life because I'm like, I want to know what made this guy tick. Like he was wild. What's going on with that? I have this ability to like read and digest and understand things. And that's what I try to do with the podcast. Hopefully, you know, if there's theological or whatever things. It's like, how do we make this practical for like the everyday Catholic woman who's trying to like navigate and understand her faith when the entire world is crazy and I'm having to make sure that I get all these meals on the table? And so I think most of us can agree that we're not coming from, at least this podcast, this episode is not coming from an area of defending that God exists. You can look up countless debates. I am not even defending that like Jesus exists. Like, this is generally for all of us who are like, okay, I can wrap my head around the fact that historically, traditionally, scripturally, Jesus exists. I got that. Now, why be Catholic when you can be anything else? That's what we're going to get into. So when I look down, because I am trying to record this for YouTube too, just forgive me. I'm trying to figure out how to navigate both. So for me, first coming into really like the full on, like, okay, Jesus had to be true, was because I met a woman who was in a very, very devout family, Jewish family. And I just saw things that made me think, okay, there is a lot of rule following, and it seemed as if there was still a soul problem. And I wasn't saying that I was perfect, but it was just enough in me for me to say, okay, I can understand why Jesus needed to come to bridge this gap, right? Like, this fractured existence that Adam and Eve created with original sin, I can understand why God needed to bridge that gap. And Jesus is the bridge. And then just through my own life, suffering traumas, suffering hardships, and eventually seeing blessings come from that, not in like a prosperity reward, but just in a like, oh, God's hand had to be in this. So we're not talking about whether or not God exists. We can get into that some other time. We are talking about this argument that as long as you believe in the resurrection, that Jesus is the Son of God and the Trinity, you know, these tenets of Christianity, then the rest is just made up by man. Okay, so this belief that it's all just made up by man, I really believed that for a while and believed that, well, I'm Catholic because I was raised this way and it feels right and things like that. But there got to a point in my life where I was learning more about the Catholic Church and what it believed. And I had to come to the realization that I either needed to change the way I lived or change the church I went to. And that was a super big crisis of faith. So I started looking into all the different churches. And I realized that God, our God, is not a God of disdain, division, all these things that are very clearly influenced by evil. And God doesn't really care about our feelings. So really looking into all those things and realizing that this divisiveness has to come from evil. So if I'm looking into this divisiveness, I can recognize that it allows us to take little things of Christianity and tweak them to our own will. And I had to come to terms with that reconciling, right? I'm not living my life the way the church does. So am I just going to follow my will? I want to use birth control. I want to gossip. I want, you know, whatever these standards were that I was like comfortable with, they were feeling challenged. And so I needed to figure out which church was like the true church. And it started with a Google of like, what church did Jesus Christ found? And there's a really interesting diagram, almost like a family tree, that shows like the origin of your church. And the only one that is like really a direct lineage, unbroken line, no splintering off to Jesus is the Catholic Church. So you have to realize like there might be some things in the church that I don't like. Maybe I am pro-choice. Maybe I am super for birth control. Maybe I am really pro death penalty or whatever it is. And realizing, okay, but what does the church teach? And I have to wrap my human brain around that. That was something that was really that crux of faith for me. And realizing like, am I going to choose comfort or challenge? Does God want me comforted or does he want me challenged in growth? And I knew that God wanted me, all of us, challenged in growth, because nowhere in the Bible does Jesus sit with people in their sin and encourage them to stay there. He's calling everyone out and higher. So the world likes to tell us that, oh, well, Jesus and the woman at the well, but yeah, you're not finishing the story. He tells people not to throw the stones at her because like they're sinners too, but he says, go and sin no more, right? And so am I inviting Jesus into my life? Is this comforting Jesus? But then that's all I want. I just want Jesus to comfort me. And so this is really where I started realizing like I had to pick. And this like paradox of two opposing things, or this issue of seeing that in multiple different Christian faiths, two things can't be true at once. You've got some Christians who say infant baptism is like not the way to go. And then the Catholics and some other Christians say that infant baptism is like must be done, right? They all say you need to be baptized for salvation, okay? But we've got these two, like infant baptism can't be the only way and adult baptism can't be the only way. Like, or you can't say infant baptism isn't right and adult baptism isn't right. Like one of them has to be true or both are untrue. You see what I'm saying? And so I really had to wrap my head around that. Communion bread cannot be a symbol and Jesus at the same, like it has to, it, which is it, right? Based on biblical text and tradition and all those things. So the spoiler alert is like, it's not about picking the church that comforts you in your sin. And it's not about picking the church that feels right. And it's not about picking the church whose pastor you like to listen to. It's about obeying. So you have to really deep dive in and discern what the church teaches and then decide to obey that, not see what the church teaches and decide whether or not you want to follow it. You know, you have to realize through tradition and history that the church Jesus established is the Catholic Church. The succession of Peter goes from Peter all the way to the bishop in your local diocese and who has given authority to the priest in your church. And then from there, the sinful humans in the church really shouldn't matter. I would even argue the spiritual attacks within the Catholic Church would even validate that evil is attacking this church and infiltrating this church more than probably any other. Now, we're granted we're the biggest, but any other on the face of the earth. Why? Because even Satan knows who the true God is. Even Satan knows who the true church is. If you look at the churches that are being broken into to steal communion bread, they're Catholic churches. When Roe v. Wade was overturned and the Dobbs ruling came out, there weren't people attacking small Baptist churches in Louisiana. I mean, maybe there were. It was widespread Catholic churches are the ones being vandalized. Even Satanists know what the true church is. They just hate it. You see what I'm saying? So I talk a lot on my podcast and all these things is like how to actually be obedient to the authority of your husband, the authority of God, how to discern and then just follow through with that discipline of obedience. As a real life Christian woman, I think toying with that, am I following my feelings and what makes me feel good and avoiding authority that has clearly been there since Jesus instituted it with Peter, like then it's just the overarching story of humans struggling with control. That's really all it is. It would be a lot easier to just not be Catholic. It would be a lot easier to interpret things and make up my own morality. It would be a lot easier to jump ship and go to any other church I want if the preacher or pastor or priest says something that I don't like or that irks me or hits me in the soul or challenges me. I really am thankful for the fact that I was raised even culturally Catholic because there were seeds there that the pull to the beauty, the tradition, the universality of the Catholic Church was something that always felt right, felt like home to me. And that can also just be because I was raised in it. Because if you were raised in the Lutheran or Baptist or evangelical, you would probably feel the same way, right? But I remember there was a specific point in college where I was kind of arguing with somebody about something. And I said, yeah, I don't think that God changes his laws and standards over time. Like he's outside of space and time. So what God says is like consistent throughout time. I think society and like laws change, right? But morality and the tenets of your faith cannot just change with the whims of the people. And I think that's what challenges us to be better people. I honestly didn't know what I was talking about at the time, but really that just changing God to conform to your will is playing God. Warping his will to my will by just changing the definition of things. And it's really just to make ourselves feel good about the bad choices that we're, because it's when you look at the history of the church God, religion, that God exists and there is one God of the universe, like logically and rationally, historically, like it makes sense, even scientifically, it makes sense. And so everything that you're reading is going to, everything from science, history, whatever, is going to reaffirm this one belief. So kind of from there, when I had this like big faith awakening when I was 26, I started deep diving absolutely everything. I read how the very first Christians did things, the authority structure of Judaism, which Catholics believe, Christians should believe to be the true but unfulfilled worship of God, right? And how that authority structure of Judaism is evident in the Catholic Church, how so many things were foreshadowed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. The things in the New Testament are concealed in the Old Testament. You know, the Passover sacrifice is what we do at Mass. Like our worship is extremely Jewish, and it should be. And this authority structure from Judaism is extremely directly evident in the Catholic Church. And God didn't give us an authority structure for thousands of years and then have Jesus come and leave us to our own devices, because that is evident with how much confusion there is between different sects of Christianity. And I talked about some of them, but Jesus told us he would not leave us as orphans. All baptized Christians have the right to the Holy Spirit. But if two Christians, I would see this so much talking to people, two Christians who were good people would be directly opposed about something regarding faith. The Eucharist is true or it's not. We worship Mary or we don't. And I just was like, something has to be true and something has to be wrong, or else they're both wrong. Like if there are two opposing views on something, obviously they both can't be full of perfect wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and evil influences our feelings incredibly. That is one of the main ways that evil can influence us. And so if everybody had this, you know, you were baptized and then you received this perfect wisdom and knowledge and fortitude from the Holy Spirit, then like we'd all be in one church and no two preachers would ever preach anything that was conflicting and there wouldn't be as much confusion. From there, I really looked at that apostolic succession of Peter as being the first pope, Jesus not leaving us as orphans, and this unbroken succession that I can go all the way from the priesthood is at my local parish in Spain to St. Peter. And it can actually be traced back, like hands laid from priest to priest to priest to priest to priest. And that was actually like the laying on of hands was an action in many times referred to in Hebrew text that transferred authority, right? I'm giving you authority through the laying on of the hands. And it was not viewed as a symbol. We don't view baptism as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We view it as like an actual efficacious way that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells within us. And there is an effect of that on your soul. Your soul is forever changed. We believe the same thing with marriage, like two become one at, you know, during the marriage sacrament. And so this laying on of hands is not a symbol. It is something that when you look back on all the texts from the church fathers, okay, this makes sense. So when Joe Schmo can just go to Bible college and decide to start his own church, there is no authority there. And evil really has like a qualm with authority. And I did like a whole podcast on demons and the occult and things like that. But demons have like a huge thing, which are just fallen angels, a huge thing with authority structure. And that's really important to understand, because when you start usurping authority, that's when they see an in. And the entire reason why they're fallen is because they felt like God was usurping the authority structure of heaven and earth, right? It was supposed to be like God, angels, humans. Now, all of a sudden, this God is becoming a human, which is kind of elevating humans to above. Wait, I have to worship a human? That threw them for a loop. So when we start usurping authority in our marriage, when we start usurping authority in the hierarchical structure of the church on earth, evil really likes to mess with that. And I just felt like I could see it everywhere. Okay. So if you're somebody who needs Bible verses, this is something that I struggle with, because it is just like statistics don't lie, but statisticians do. The Bible doesn't lie, but the interpreters can. So you have to be really careful when you're picking and choosing a Bible verse. Like, are we reading it in the context? It's kind of like whenever you see a blurb of a politician and you hear some soundbite and you're like, oh, that's offensive, or oh, I really agree with that. But then whenever you get the full context, maybe you listen to the whole speech, you're like, oh, wait, now that I have the whole context, that's really not what they meant, or something like that. So I try to be very careful about saying like picky choosy Bible verse things, but Matthew 16, verse 18 through 19, you know, Peter, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, Peter means rock in Greek, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that's super interesting, the keys to the kingdom of heaven, because in Jewish culture, the keys to the kingdom was a symbol of complete authority of the kingdom. When the king would go out to like fight a battle or do whatever, there were keys, physical keys to the kingdom that hung on like a rope. And the king would lay those keys to that kingdom on the neck of his right-hand man. And then that right-hand man had all the authority of the king until the king came back again. And if the king died or never came back, like that authority was passed on to the next right-hand man and the next right-hand man if the king didn't have any children. So Jesus didn't have any children. So like we pass this on, Jesus passes it to Peter. Peter passes it to like all the way down this line to remember that there's this authority. So I know a lot of people have an issue with the Bible and did the Catholic Church create the Bible? And like, so, you know, a lot of issue people have is there's this sola scriptura, which I think that's just flat out debunked when you see that 20 different people can read the same part of the Bible in 20 different areas and all come to 20 different conclusions. If sola scriptura was really the only basis of our faith, then like we would all be on the exact same page, and we're not. Sola fide, like faith alone to save you, that also doesn't make any sense, because if faith alone saved you, then faith wouldn't be a choice that you have to make every single day. You have to make a choice of faith in God every single day, making it one time. We all know that. You can feel it in your soul. Making that choice of faith one time is not permanent. Faith is an action. And then acting in faith is acting, doing your best to act in God's will. Like none of these things, the world tells us that love is a feeling, forgiveness is a feeling, faith is a feeling, hope is a feeling. They're not feelings, they're choices. So when we're not looking at our faith as this holistic Bible, tradition, scriptures, church writings, church fathers, all these things, then like we're not living this faith the way that the Jews did. Their faith was passed down through oral tradition. And one of the huge issues Martin Luther even had with the Bible was he was reading Jewish texts that were created after Jesus to refute the things that the Catholic Church had put in the canon. Another issue I have with sola scriptura that I really came to this conclusion was like, do we really believe that the church and Christians were wrong about the Bible until Martin Luther figured it out in 1517? Like, look that man up. He wasn't some great holy person. And so I feel like if you're looking to one person who's not Jesus Christ to lead your church without a fact-checking element, and that's where people get it wrong. Like, the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church, but the magisterium of all of the cardinals are the authority. So the Pope doesn't just get to say whatever he wants and we have to believe it. That's not true. But when you guys are saying, when someone's saying that the Catholic Church does that with the Pope, does whatever, I'm like, that's what happened with Martin Luther. You took what this man said, and believe me, he had some qualms with the church that were valid. The church has been attacked spiritually, physically, since the beginning of time, and infiltrated from within. I believe that there have been many a not great pope, many a not great priest, that still does not believe that the church is not true. It's the same way that like marriage is good, even though the two people within the marriage are unholy. The Holy Spirit is holy, but the other two people in the marriage struggle bus. So this all goes down to just like, you have to ask questions of yourself. You have to listen to questions other people ask, and then you have to search for an answer. And when I would search for an answer, I would always try to go back to the source, go back to the root, Jesus, church fathers, and the OG Christians in the first through the third century. And it would always lead me to the Catholic Church. So the best thing you can do when somebody asks you, why are you Catholic? Tell them your heart, tell them what you know to be true. And if they question something, you answer with, I don't know the answer, but I know how to find it. Because you do know how to find it. It's within the Catholic Church and it's within church teachings. You know, to really know what someone believes, like even if it's a friendship that maybe somebody says someone gossiped about you, you cannot believe just what somebody else has said about a situation. You need to go to the source. And how often are we told things about the Catholic Church and we believe it? Even us as Catholics, we're told because this news source says what the Pope said, I'm going to believe that and it's going to enrage me because I don't agree with it or whatever, instead of like going to the source and actually reading it. And that's so completely true about our faith. And evil has a lot of reason to take hits at the one true church that God created, because if that's the vessel that God instituted to get us to heaven, then evil's going to try to keep as many people off that ship as they can, right? Maybe a bunch of other little ships pop up and they're still trying to get you to heaven too, but they don't have like the blueprint that like Jesus taught the captain how to steer the ship. And that captain taught the next captain how to steer the ship. And that captain taught the next captain how to ship. And all these people have jumped off the ship and maybe somehow like fashioned some boats together and they're making their way, but they're like a little blinded. They're a little unequipped. Not saying that those people can't make it to that destination of following Jesus Christ, loving him with their whole soul, things like that. But just saying that I would rather be on the ship that is like battle ready. But because that ship is battle ready, it's going to be a lot more effective to attack that ship and try to get more people off than attack those small little dinghies that only have two or three people on it. If that like analogy makes any sense. Another thing for me was realizing this universality, both in like the teachings, but also knowing that I could go to any Catholic church in the entire world and the worship would be true. The worship would be the same. The words might, like the language might be different, but even the structure of the liturgy, the prayers, all these things, they're the same. And so knowing that I could go to two different churches down the road and hear the same gospel reading, neglect all of the typology, have two different pastors come to completely different conclusions, it was reinforcing to me that I knew this is where I was supposed to be. This is more for you to sit back and realize I am Catholic and I know with my full chest to be true. So when people challenge that, maybe you're a convert, maybe you're somebody who's really just making that jump from that childlike faith to that more mature faith where you're confident to stand up and defend yourself and your beliefs and Jesus and the Eucharist, and you're learning all these things. But maybe you've had somebody say like, hey, but remember you used to be super pro-choice or you used to be super pro whatever. You know, why don't you just go to this church or come visit our church? You have to be confident in your ability to defend faith and reason. And so I'm going to leave a whole bunch of links in the show notes, just good podcasts, like YouTube videos and books that I've read that have broken these things down. One of the huge things for me was really this parallel between Judaism and Catholicism, seeing Jesus in the Jewish roots of Mary, Jesus in the Jewish roots of the Eucharist. That changed everything because I was able to say like, we didn't pull this out of thin air. And then because it wasn't pulled out of thin air, I'm also not in a church that is ignoring what was not pulled out of thin air. Does that make sense? Okay, so we are going to wrap this show up. I've got sick kids. I actually have a migraine. So if I sound like a little more scripted today, it's because I feel like dog poop. Yeah, podcast wiped the entire Spotify, wiped the entire podcast off of Spotify, and somehow it came back after like 12 hours, but I thought the whole thing was gone and I'm like so exhausted by it, but we're good. Here we are. Yeah. Go find me on Instagram. Come say hi, leave a rating and review, please, please, please. And I will see you next time.